Walk into any supermarket and you're entering a carefully engineered battlefield. Every product on those shelves has been precision crafted by food scientists wielding PhDs in psychology and chemistry, each formula optimized to bypass your body's natural "I'm full" signals. The bright packaging, the strategic shelf placement, even the gentle music overhead, none of it is accidental. Behind these everyday purchases lies a decades-long story of scientific manipulation that rivals Big Tobacco's playbook. What makes you reach for that particular cereal or snack isn't just preference. It's the result of millions spent discovering your brain's exact breaking point for pleasure. The question isn't whether you're being manipulated, it's whether you're ready to see how deep the formula goes. In April 1999, America's food industry CEOs gathered in Minneapolis for a pivotal meeting. Michael Mudd from Kraft presented alarming data. Obesity rates had doubled, children showed arterial damage resembling middle-aged adults, and social costs approached $100 billion. He proposed modest reforms: voluntary limits on salt, sugar, and fat, plus marketing restrictions for children. The room fell silent. Then Steven Sanger, General Mills CEO, delivered the verdict: consumers want taste, not nutrition. He refused to compromise products because a bunch of guys in white coats are worried about obesity. Companies instead intensified competition, adding more salt, sugar, and fat. When Hershey threatened Kraft's market share, Kraft abandoned its brief health initiative, responding with fat-laden Oreo variations and acquiring Cadbury. That room represented the industry's last chance to choose public health over profit, and they walked away. Howard Moskowitz, a Harvard-trained psychologist with a mathematics PhD, revolutionized food manufacturing by discovering the bliss point, that precise amount of sugar, salt, or fat triggering maximum pleasure without overwhelming your palate. Working on army rations, he identified sensory-specific satiety: strong flavors quickly satisfy, while bland foods can be consumed endlessly. This became the processed food industry's foundation, explaining why Coca-Cola and Doritos succeed by teasing taste buds without fully satisfying them. Analyzing Maxwell House Coffee, Moskowitz identified three distinct consumer clusters preferring different roasts. His radical suggestion was to sell all three. For Campbell's Prego sauce, he discovered plain, spicy, and extra chunky preferences. The chunky revelation alone generated $600 million over a decade. What Malcolm Gladwell's famous TED Talk omitted: sugar's starring role. Prego sauces contain sugar as their second-largest ingredient. Half a cup delivers as much sugar as three Oreo cookies. Post-World War II, veterans like Al Clossie at General Foods reinvented American eating. Marketing executive Charles Mortimer championed convenience foods, observing his daughter likes to eat cake for breakfast, freeing inventors to reimagine morning meals entirely. This birthed Tang and Pop-Tarts, containing up to 4 teaspoons of sugar each. Facing resistance from home economics teachers, food companies hired glamorous home economists and created the fictional Betty Crocker. By 1959, an entire generation had forgotten how to cook real food. If sugar is food's methamphetamine, fat is its opiate, less obvious but equally powerful. Fat transforms bland chips into crunchy marvels, extends shelf life, and drives the hamburger industry's 7 billion pounds of annual production. Its real magic lies in subtlety, masking harsh flavors while prolonging aromatic ones. Neuroscientist Edmund Rolls discovered fat stimulates the brain identically to sugar. Using fMRI technology, he watched subjects' brains respond to vegetable oil with the same intensity as sugar solutions, both lighting up pleasure-generating reward centers. Unilever's $30 million sensory research confirmed a troubling truth: there is not a lot to be gained from asking people why they like something, because they don't bloody know. Adam Drewnowski made 2 groundbreaking discoveries. Unlike sugar's bliss point, fat has no upper limit. The more fat there was, the better. More alarming, fat operates invisibly. Participants accurately detected sugar levels but struggled identifying fat content. When sugar was added to fatty formulations, subjects mistakenly thought fat had been reduced. This invisibility creates a perfect scenario. Load products with fat without triggering satiety signals, then add sugar to make the fat even more undetectable. Summer 1988, Oscar Mayer launched Lunchables, repositioning declining bologna with cheese and crackers in bright yellow packaging. Bob Drain's team discovered Mother's biggest challenge wasn't nutrition, it was time during the morning rush. His 15-person team studied successful products like the Walkman, developing a wish list. Faster, fresher, foolproof, fortified, flavorful, flexible, funner, and for me. Despite concerns, Lunchables achieved first-year sales of $217 million. Their growth strategy followed processed foods' cardinal rule. When in doubt, add sugar. They added cookies, candy bars, and sugary drinks. When kids wanted pizza, moms gave it the worst score in our history, but kids loved it. Unlike adults who taste food, children judge visually. The unassembled format maximized fun, kids building pizzas while classmates watched enviously. Kraft's marketing brilliantly shifted from targeting guilty mothers to empowering children. Lunchtime is all yours. By 2009, health consequences emerged. Nearly 1 in 4 American adolescents were developing type 2 diabetes. 10-year-olds showed arterial stiffening typical of 45-year-olds. The maxed-out ham and cheese contained 57 grams of sugar and 1,600 milligrams of sodium, two-thirds the daily recommended maximum for children. The industry had trained an entire generation to crave processed convenience over real food. Most American adults consume over 10 grams of salt daily, far above the 2,300 milligram guideline. A 1991 study revealed only 6% came from table salt, while over 3/4 came from processed foods. Paul Breslin at Monell Chemical Senses Center discovered that unlike sugar and fat, salt provides no calories yet triggers powerful cravings that deliver well-being beyond mere pleasure. A groundbreaking 2012 Monell study revealed babies aren't born loving salt. They must be taught to crave it. Researchers tracked 61 children fed either processed foods or fresh produce. At 2 months, all babies were indifferent to salty solutions. By 6 months, babies exposed to salty foods preferred salty water, while others still preferred plain water. The industry had discovered how to create lifelong customers before they could walk. When health authorities urged reduced salt intake in 2005, major food companies secretly formed the Salt Consortium, hiring Monell to understand salt's allure. Beyond flavor, salt serves as processed food's great fixer, eliminating metallic tastes in cornflakes, preventing crackers from becoming bitter and soggy, keeping ham from turning rubbery, even preventing bread-making machinery from gumming up. Cargill transformed ordinary salt into 40 engineered products, specially designed flakes that cling to popcorn's irregular surface for immediate taste bud impact. Campbell's attempt to reduce sodium starkly illustrated the industry's salt addiction. After investing heavily in lower sodium formulations, Wall Street pressure following flat revenue forced their CEO to increase sodium from 480 milligrams back to 650 milligrams. The stock price rose 1.3% that day, with analysts praising tasty soup products over health concerns. After 3.5 years investigating the food industry, one truth emerges. Companies won't relinquish salt, sugar, and fat without a fight. Tellingly, many industry insiders avoid their own products. Kraft's John Ruff gave up sweet drinks, Nestlé's Louis Cantarelle eats fish, Frito-Lay's Bob Lynn avoids chips, and Howard Moskowitz won't drink the sodas he engineered. For many, processed foods create dependencies as powerful as drugs. At Overeaters Anonymous meetings, members speak of sugar like heroin. Nora Volko, director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse, confirms through brain imaging that processed sugar produces compulsive intake patterns in certain individuals, advising complete avoidance rather than moderation. Resistance is possible. Michael Lowe at Drexel University addresses the breakdown of structured mealtimes, a fundamental change that coincided with rising obesity. The grocery store is a battlefield. Gentle music, bakery aromas, strategic placement, packaging designed to excite children. Nothing is accidental. But awareness gives us power. They have salt, sugar, and fat, but you decide what to buy. Every purchase is a vote for the food system you want. Start small. Read labels, cook one more meal at home, teach your children that food comes from farms, not factories.